Broadcasted live. Catch the broadcast on kaya959.co.za.
Now, earlier on in the show, we had a conversation around Tupot, right? And invited many of you just to let us know and help us contextualize and understand who's withdrawing, how much you're withdrawing, what you're using the money for, how old are you, why do you need the money, and what the process of withdrawal was like. But many of you have given us your thoughts, and you're more than welcome to keep those voice notes coming through for us to get a better perspective into our financial well-being as South Africans. But the Congress of the South African Trade Unions, that's COSATU, has highlighted that it's disappointed that some pension funds chose to exploit the two-pot system by charging unnecessary fees for withdrawals. They deem them unnecessary. That's from COSATU's point of view. And of course, we will offer a right of reply to some of the pension funds or institutions just to help us understand the fees and the costs that are involved. Matthew Parks joins us now. He is COSATU's parliamentary coordinator. Mr. Parks, welcome to the show.
Good evening. Thanks for having us. Hope you're well.
Thank you, Matthew. I guess first things first, help us contextualize the engagements you've had with the FSCA, that's the Financial Sector Conduct Authority, on understanding the fees and costs that are typically charged on the two-pot withdrawal system. From my understanding, they differ depending on the pension fund or administrator that's behind these withdrawals.
So they do differ. And look, I think this is one of the kind of unintended consequences that we've had to navigate. This is a new system, so obviously it is uncharted territory for everybody. For the funds, and there was some cost from their side in terms of freeing up liquidity, putting in place systems, education, etc., having additional staff on duty for the call centers and so forth, because it really was unprecedented numbers. And we understand, you know, there are in any business some costs, so we don't have a quarter of that. But our quarter was with why the variety of the costs were. Some pension funds were very progressive, mm-hmm. and they actually agreed to absorb the costs for these fees amongst themselves and not to charge workers anything. Because the whole idea of the two-pot reforms is to give relief to workers who are heavily indebted, etc. Other pension funds, and most of them, tended to be in the 300 rand, 350 rand range. So that seemed to be the norm. But we then found a few outliers who charged twice that. And when you would engage them, they couldn't really give a legitimate excuse. So that's the one problem. Mm-hmm. But they will tell you, look, we're putting in place new systems. This is the cost, etc. And you ask them, is this cost going to be carried through next year when people can now access their one-third of the future savings through the savings pot? And they said, yes, it would, which doesn't make sense. Because if your cost is being incurred because you have established a new system, once the system is established, you don't have the same kind of cost. It should be at a lesser amount, etc. But I think the point is that one, we need to have a discussion about what is a fair fee to charge workers, charge mm-hmm. pension fund members, because after all, this is their money. Pension funds are being fortunate to be asked to invest it, and they're making a profit. They shouldn't be excessive in their profit. And the second one is that I think we actually need a review of all the fees that pension funds charge workers, because I think often at times, some of them, not all of them, but some of them will be unscrupulous and take advantage of workers. And that has an impact upon the amount of money that workers accumulate when they retire, so they can retire in comfort and dignity. So there is a need for that. We've had engagement at NEDLAC with Treasury, with the Financial Sector Conduct Authority. The FFCA is convinced that they do have the powers to what do you call this thing, to manage it. Mm-hmm. But I think there is a need for us to really see what can we do to try to, you know, put it in a bit of a more balanced approach. Because I think now the situation has been open to abuse.
And Matthew, I'm keen to understand, I'm aware that, before Tupot was implemented, there was a rush by industry participants to make sure that, systems are streamlined, there's a structure in place, they'll be able to essentially function and roll out the two-pot system. I'm also aware that there were ongoing engagements between various stakeholders that also took place. Was Labour, and specifically COSATU, ever engaged on some of these, considerations as to how the system would work, including fees, costs, and the processes at all?
Well, we were engaged at a high level in terms of the policy. Then also we set up a task team with government, the industry, to try to address logistical glitches. Obviously, we're not involved in the day-to-day operations of any pension fund, but to kind of make sure, have you put in place systems? Have you amended the rules? Have the rules been gazetted so that workers can apply for the relief? And then to intervene when workers have come across, obstacles, so to speak, to accessing the money. So that helps in many instances. And I think it was far less chaotic than what we feared, because we have saw during COVID-19 when we shifted the UIF to help millions of workers overnight, the systems crashed. And we saw in the first few days, lot of fund system were overwhelmed, but they managed to cope well. And by and large, workers started to receive the monies fairly quickly, not as quick as we'd love to. Mm-hmm. But I think once the system started moving, workers, you know, were starting to receive the money within a week to 2 weeks of applying. There were some laggard pension funds, especially in the public sector, from the GPF, which took about 6 weeks to begin processing payments. A few other pension funds we had to intervene on specifically, including the post office, mm-hmm. which should now begin processing, and the Telkom, which we're still trying to sort out, which had been stuck in the bureaucracy of the Department of Communications.
Got you.
But by and large, you know, I think the facts speak to it, that because there are individuals, and for any individual who's been waiting, it's frustrating as hell. But if you look at a macro figure, the last report was that just over 2 million workers had received about 35 billion rand. We expect that amount to push over 50 billion rand by the end of the year, especially now that the large pension funds like GPF and so on are kind of coming on board and they're beginning to dispense their money. So it's not a perfect system, but I think, you know, 35 billion rand is no small amount of money. And I think the fact that it's going to 2 million workers,
definitely,
it gives relief to them. And that gives us some comfort.
Got you. Matthew, I'm also keen to understand, well, going forward now, as you've said, you've raised this concern around the costs and the fees. You've engaged with some of the financial services players. But where to from here? What kind of resolution do you hope to find? And how will you continue engaging institutions on this matter?
So this is the first round of reforms. We have highlighted about four or five issues for further engagements. One is this issue that we need to have a discussion to ensure the FFCA monitors and puts in place some caps on fees that can be charged, not just for the two-pot, but I think generally they agree with that. They think they do have the power to do that, so we don't need to amend the law, so that will assist. We've also tabled to Treasury and to Parliament proposals for the next round of legislative reforms. One is to allow workers greater access to the existing savings to help pay off debt. So that's the vested pot. That's money they've saved up by 1 September this year. If they want to, don't force anybody, just but give them the choice. We've also engaged with Treasury about options about ensuring that when workers lose their jobs, they have access to all the savings. So that would include the vested pot. They've agreed to that. We need to work on the drafting urgently, because you can't tell somebody who's lost their job, you've got money in your pension fund, but you can't touch it and save your house or feed your family or pay for electricity, etc. And then we've also raised the issue that can we look at a less painful tax regime for workers? Because often the tax burden for workers really is quite astronomical. It's not an easy thing, especially when the fiscus is under severe pressure. But we do think there is a need to review it. And also to see, can we allow workers to use the pension funds for loans, for collateral, for education loans for themselves and for the children? Because that's an investment in their own career earning potential, and that's obviously their retirement savings as well.
Got you. Perfect. Thank you so much, Mr. Parks. We're looking forward to hearing more regarding this particular outcome and the progress that will likely be made. But one thing's for certain, South Africans have been accessing their pension funds. And by the feedback that we're getting, it's refreshing to hear that they are using the money to alleviate the financial burdens that they've been facing. Thank you again for your time, Matthew.
Thank you. You too.
Thank you. That is Matthew Parks joining us tonight, helping us get some clarity with regard to some of the concerns that COSATU as a labor union has raised regarding the fees that are not standardized across the pension funds industry when it comes to withdrawals.
If you missed it live, catch the podcast on kaya959.co.za.